Do you believe in ghosts? It's a question I hear all the time. Frankly, I'm getting tired of it. As a scientist, physicist in training by day, paranormal investigator by night, it's more than a little insulting. Nobody asks Stephen Hawking if he believes in black holes. So why do people think it's okay to ask someone with a professed interest in the paranormal if they believe in ghosts? Not only do I believe in them, but I saw one when I was 8. Back when I was in elementary school, my family lived in a small suburban enclave in Battle Creek, Michigan. Does the name sound familiar? It should. Battle Creek is Cereal City, USA. Its name is printed on over half of all cereal boxes sold in the United States. Depending on which way the wind was blowing, our neighborhood would smell like either Apple Jacks or Fruity Pebbles. Not everyone was a fan of the sugary smells permeating the city. Among the chief critics was a mean old lady who lived right next door, who could be heard ranting and raving about the air quality even on the clearest of days. Now, to a kid, every adult is old. I remember thinking my parents were ancient, even though they were only a couple of years older than I am right now. The woman next door, however, was old by anyone's standard. Her thin white hair sprouted in sparse patches like a poorly seeded chia pit. Her wrinkled skin had more spots than a Dalmatian. In fact, she looked so much like the villain from 101 Dalmatians that the neighbor kids had taken to calling her Cruella. I'm ashamed to say I joined in. I had no other choice. Nobody seemed to know her name, not even my parents. At least, not until we read the obituary. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me start from the beginning. Devil's Night. My story starts late one October day in 1985, the day before Halloween, to be exact. In Detroit, the evening before All Hallows' Eve was known as Devil's Night. It was a night of vandalism for the sake of running wild. At least, that was the story. In our little corner of suburbia, far from Motor City's dangerous streets, October 30th was just a fall night like any other. After school, my parents asked me to rake the backyard with Jimmy and Kate. The twins were a couple of grades above me. Whenever there was yard work to do at the Gilberts, Jimmy and Kate would show up, gloves in hand. I labored under the delusion for years that they were my besties, before discovering that my parents were paying them a dollar an hour, not only to help out with chores, but to be my friends. I hadn't yet wised up to my parents' scam in 1985, so the three of us BFFs were busy raking the leaves into piles and then jumping in. The leaves would scatter and we'd re-rake them and start all over again. Give a child a rake and they'll never be bored. Or maybe that was just me, seeing as how my friends were paid to have fun. Either way, we were making too much noise for Cruella, whose back door banged open. The old woman flew onto the porch with supernatural speed. I gripped my wooden rake handle tightly. The rake was taller than I was, and it felt like I was clutching onto a sturdy tree to prevent being blown away. None of us dared say anything, even under our breath. Cruella's hearing, unlike my grandparents, was undiminished by age. Her eyesight was sharp as a hawk. The only sense affected by age appeared to be her sense of humor. She cleared her throat, which sounded like someone trying to start a lawnmower. "If a single leaf ends up on my side of the property line, there will be hell to pay," she hissed. "Hell to pay!" After she had disappeared back inside, the three of us did the most thorough job of raking and bagging leaves that anyone in southern Michigan had ever seen. Thank God it wasn't windy, Who knows what would have happened if the wind had blown our leaves across Cruella's backyard, which was as barren as a post-apocalyptic wasteland. We hauled the bags to the curb, where the trashmen would pick them up at the end of the week. The twins took off, and I hurried inside.